Time to talk Red Sox. We're joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by Tim Britton of the Providence Journal. And, well, no moss growing on the Red Sox. Dave Dombrowski wasting little time in firing his manager today. And it was not a complete surprise, but Dombrowski didn't say much in that press conference other than leave some questions in the air about whether Farrell would have been gone no matter how well they did.
Yeah, but the Red Sox sure aren't letting us sleep in these mornings, you know. It was kind of weird that Dombrowski's kind of lack of explanation for everything beyond basically saying, I just think it's time for a change. You know, he mentioned that John Farrell had one question for him this morning, and then he didn't want to divulge the question was. It's just kind of weird to bring up some things and then just kind of leave them unanswered the way Dave did this morning. I know he's a guy who has been generally, but not always, relatively forthright with the press. You know, we talk about when the team needs something, he says, this is what we need. So it was a little bit different for him to be that lacking in specifics, I should say. And I think this is a move that kind of puts the onus on him now. The burden for this team's success going forward is on Dombrowski because he is now the architect of really every part of it.
So what do you think that question was? What's your best guess?
I don't know. I think you're going a lot of different directions with it. You sure, maybe, or something like that. I don't know that we'll be getting to the bottom of that anytime soon.
Did the whole David Price, Dennis Eckersley situation play into this decision at all?
You know, I think it can. I don't think that specific incident does, but I think you can view it as a representation of where the clubhouse was. You know, I think the criticism you could have of Farrell is that he didn't have this close connection with his clubhouse anymore. It was something that existed more so in 2013 when you had more of a veteran group in there. As the clubhouse got younger and as they brought in some veterans from outside the organization, kind of, you know, higher priced guys like David Price, that connection kind of faded a little bit more, eroded. And this season in particular, he didn't have that liaison that he had in the past in Torey Lovello, who's kind of the go-between. You know, if you're playing good cop, bad cop with the bench coach and the manager or something like that. You know, Gary DeSarcina has some connection with those guys, but not quite to the level that Lovello had. So I think if you want to talk about reasons why he's no longer the manager, you can say that that connection didn't exist. And you can see that in something like the Price incident, that there wasn't really, he didn't feel like he had the ground to stand on to really punish Price publicly, either after the first incident with a reporter or after that one with Eckersley.
And so should we assume from this decision that Dave Dombrowski considers this season one in which the team underachieved despite winning the second straight division title under Farrell?
I think in one way, yes. You know, first of all, the weird thing he said was that, you know, he was asked whether kind of any number of wins, whether in the regular season or the postseason, would have changed Dombrowski's mind based on the reasoning of why he fired Farrell. And he said no, which is strange. You know, this team won 105 games, still doing the same thing. He can just suggest that he would. I think you listen to him describe what happened with the team this year. They talked about the number of players who took steps back from last year, from 2016 to 2017, and that maybe plays a little role in it, that those guys didn't flourish the way the team expected. I think it's also reasonable to criticize their approach coming into the season, wonder, you know, maybe they should have foreseen that coming. It wasn't too difficult to think that 2016 was the peak of a lot of those guys' production levels, especially with younger players offensively. You probably weren't going to get as good a season out of guys like Mookie Betts and Jackie Bradley Jr. a second year in a row. It's not unreasonable that they took steps back. But I do think certainly losing in the division series again, and you look at where this team stacks up with others in the American League right now, you know, 375 days ago before they started the division series with Cleveland, they looked like the best team in the American League. They had this enviable young core that looked like it was going to last for a while. They looked like they should be the class of the American League for a few years, and now they're clearly third, if not fourth, in that pecking order behind Cleveland, Houston, and maybe the Yankees.
So the search is on for a new manager, and Dombrowski made it clear he would like someone with major league experience, somebody who's been in the dugout, which would rule out fan favorite Jason Varitek, but a lot of the names are ones we've heard before. Brad Osmus, Alex Cora, I see Hensley Mullins' name thrown about. Who do you think are the legitimate candidates for this, and might there be somebody that we're not talking about yet?
You know, it's tough to get a grip on this quite yet. You know, Dombrowski, for a guy who's been in the game for 30 years, doesn't really have that tree that a lot of guys have. You know, he hired Jim Leland twice. And Leland was his guy in Florida for a few years, and then in Detroit for a long time. Austin's the guy after that. Obviously, his tenure in Detroit didn't go as they expected. Fired after 4 years. You know, a lot of guys are better the second time around, but Austin is also a guy who kind of bristled at the Detroit media landscape in the last month, and you wonder what that says about a guy going to Boston. That was the big difference, you know, Dombrowski and identifying what's different about searching for a candidate here rather than in Detroit or Florida. Mentioned the media landscape in particular. You've got other guys, kind of the bench coach, up-and-coming guys route. Alex Cora certainly rates highly there, the guy who played for the Red Sox parts of four seasons, has only had the 1 year as a big league coach with the Astros this year, but has gotten high marks for what he's done there. And if you want a guy who can connect to a younger core, he would seem to be a decent option in that regard. You know, Dave Martinez has been Joe Maddon's bench coach for a decade and was a hotter name really 3-4 years ago than he's been lately. You wonder if he's the guy who finally gets an opportunity. Hensley Mullins is an interesting one that I saw thrown out there. A guy who's been the hitting coach for the Giants for, I think, the last 8 seasons, speaks a couple different languages and has managed the Netherlands in the World Baseball Classic each of the last 2 times. A team that's really done well in the WBC. I don't know, you know, in hiring Austin, Dombrowski put a little bit of an onus on WBC experience. Austin had managed Team Israel before that. So I don't know how much that rates exactly in terms of this job. So there's a couple different ways it can go. I think we'll get a little bit more clarity in the coming days and weeks. We'll see how this goes exactly, if that's transparent as some past managerial hiring processes for the Red Sox or more opaque like it was on Wednesday.
People up here are always asking about whether Brian Butterfield, the Maine native, will get a chance. I always think that, first of all, he's probably too valuable as a coach because of his work with the defensive players and everything he's done there. But also, this was not exactly a great year for the team when it came to running the bases. So that may hurt his cause if he's even interested in it.
Yeah, and Dombrowski said today that he didn't expect the successor for John Farrell to come from Farrell's own coaching staff, which, you know, I think we've talked about Gary DeSarcina as a managerial candidate in waiting, maybe a couple of years down the road for him, or Chili Davis even as the hitting coach kind of fits that mold a little bit. But maybe, again, a couple of years down the road. Butterfield, obviously, has been around forever and knows the game about as well as anyone. I'm not sure how much he would want the chance to manage in Boston or elsewhere. I'm not sure how much the Red Sox would look at him, if at all, at this point. But he's certainly an important member of the organization. He's under contract for 2018. But Dombrowski talked about giving whoever the new manager is the opportunity to select his coaching staff. We all remember what happened when Bobby Valentine didn't do that in 2012, instead of the angst it had on the team all season. So I think it'll be important for the Red Sox to make a move quickly with a manager if they want to retain parts of that coaching staff, and that includes Butterfield.
We're talking with Tim Britton of the Providence Journal here on Downtown. Well, this adds one more need to the list of offseason needs for this team, and either right after or maybe even ahead of the manager is the need for a power bat. All kinds of names being mentioned. Who's on the table for the Red Sox to consider?
Well, there's the guy that everyone talks about first, and that's Giancarlo Stanton with the Marlins. And then there's the guy that I think is maybe a better fit for them, and that's J.D. Martinez from the Diamondbacks. Now, you look at Stanton gets all the headlines. Martinez has been a very similar player for the last, I think, 4 seasons now in terms of how often he hits home runs, you know, home runs per at-bat and slugging percentage. Even this past season, Stanton hit 59 home runs. Martinez still hits home runs in one every 11 at-bats. Stanton was one every 12. He's a guy who's got that kind of right-handed power and had the highest OPS against left-handed pitching that we've seen in a decade from any player in Major League Baseball. So he's a guy who really fits and would cost substantially less. Stanton's got $295 million over 10 years owed to him. Would cost you something in terms of prospect or a current Major League player if you're trading for him. Martinez is probably a guy who costs half that in free agency. So he's the guy who, to me, makes the most sense in this scenario. But you know, that's not always the way that the Red Sox go in the offseason. So it's the biggest need, and the one that Dombrowski identified on Wednesday for the team going forward is that power bat and the ability to score more runs. But there are a couple different ways they can go in that direction.
Mitch Moreland had a pretty good year for him. Do they consider bringing him back? Do they go after somebody like an Eric Hosmer?
I think they consider Moreland, but it's probably not very seriously, just because if he's going to upgrade this offense, you've got really the only spots you can do it is at first base or DH, because Hanley Ramirez is still going to be here next year. So he's going to play one of those spots. And if you bring back Moreland too, well, then you kind of got your set nine, and it's the same as this year. So I think if they, I wouldn't be surprised if they engaged very seriously with Moreland again this offseason. Hosmer is a guy who to me is an imperfect fit because as good as he is as a player, he's the same kind of offensive player that the Red Sox have, a guy who gets on base and hits kind of more doubles than home runs. He hit his career high in home runs this season, but still only 25. So I don't think he's the kind of guy you stick fourth in the order and expect everyone else to perform better around him because he's there, the way that a Martinez or a Stanton really affects the way a pitcher works that lineup.
Dave Dombrowski said that David Price would be back as a starting pitcher next year. Did that outstanding relief stint in the postseason do anything to repair the damage he had done with the fan base in Boston?
Well, I think judging by the reaction that we saw from the fan base and that that Sunday win in Game 3, it sure seems like he moved in the proper direction. This is a guy that people thought back in July was taking an injury so as not to pitch at Fenway Park. I don't think people are thinking that anymore. So I think, you know, Price knows and the Red Sox know that the biggest question for him right now is health. You know, the doctors have told Dombrowski that he should be good to go going forward in terms of his elbow, but they popped that kind of in May and June as well. So that's going to be the biggest thing hanging over this team for the next couple months is what is his status going into spring training and throughout the season, a really significant season for him, given that there is that opt-out clause at the end of 2018. And if he pitches the way he did down the stretch out of the rotation, then he might just be pitching well enough to exercise that at the end of next season.
Well, we know with the Red Sox, there really is no such thing as an off season. So I'm sure we'll be checking in with you quite a bit over the next few months. Tim Britton, Providence Journal, always good to chat with you. Thanks for making time for us today.
Oh, anytime, Rich. Thanks a lot.